The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. Tom, on the other side of the glass, and Tom, as you know, we are practicing social distancing while bringing people together here on the radio. And this is one of these times when radio really does play a huge role. A lot of people home. They're alone, many of them. Hopefully, I'm a nice voice coming in into their home.
Well, they're depending on you. They're depending on all of the radio stations and television stations for information.
They really are. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice. We are the trusted source for local news talk here in Southern Arizona. We have so much to cover during the hour, so let's plow right into it with Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson, who is on our live line. Supervisor Bronson, how are you?
You know, I am well, and I hope you are, too.
I am, and of course, we're all very conscious of our health. And I will point out, Sharon, on the drive into the radio station, and again, there's only Tom here and one or two other people, so we're very much kind of isolated. But I did notice, Sharon, traffic today seemed to be normal, a normal work day, and that's not a good sign, is it?
No, we're not. We're definitely not even at the peak yet. So people need to shelter in place and very much pay attention. If they have to go out, they need to wear a mask and they need to keep that safe 6-foot distance. At this point, we are, depending on which model our health department uses, which actually comes through the state, we think we will be peaking somewhere in the neighborhood of the end of April. So this is far from over, and that's the peak. And then, you know, as we recover and the number of cases goes down, you still have to shelter in place. So we're in very unusual circumstances, and every day presents us with new challenges.
What are you hearing from the health department? Are the deaths in Pima County have pretty much remained steady, which is a good thing, correct?
They have remained steady. We're using the state data as of yesterday, there were 512 cases, 20 deaths here in Pima County. And clearly, this is in Arizona, this is community spread. So we are seeing some increases. Part of the challenge is how cases are reported to at the state level to the health department there. Some they're aggregated. So when you saw that it was steady, that was actually because there was some of the cases which came from Pima County, but were from different went through Pima County were actually in other counties like Cochise and Santa Cruz. So when you adjust your numbers, it looked like we were steady, but this is. This community risk is increasing, and it's a heightened risk. We're not going to be over this. We're not going to get to the peak till the end of April. So, just be aware. You need to stay sheltered in place, work from home if you're able. And we're all in this together, and we'll get through it together.
One thing that has emerged out of this is the public really. And I'm speaking very generally, but I get a comment or on my Facebook, a message every day. People are very confused about who is in charge. People generally don't know about the difference between the city and county. I have a message in front of me that someone who is seriously confused about the mayor's latest order that restaurants can function now as grocery stores. So are they now allowed to hang out, as this person says, around the store to get their goods? I think where I'm going, Sharon Bronson, has the county activated your emergency center? Let's start there.
Oh, the emergency operations center, yes. It's fully operational, has been for a number of weeks.
Okay.
But as we talk about the primary health responses, they have to be directed through Pima County's health department. And it is the health department that will be able, our Pima County Health Department, because in the state of Arizona, it's the county health departments that control these health responses. So I encourage, it's great if we can help the restaurant industry, and if they can go to do these, go kind of grocery delivery, but one has to remember their raw foods being processed. There are bulk orders that have to be treated in certain ways. So unless and until we, the county health department, is comfortable, the various restaurants can't turn themselves into grocery stores. They have to go through the process, understand how they have to, as they have these raw foods and the bulk orders, how these have to be handled, so that everybody stays safe and healthy.
But you understand where I'm going with this, Supervisor Bronson. There are people who think Mayor Romero is speaking for the whole Tucson Valley.
She's certainly speaking for the city of Tucson to the extent that it's allowable under the statutes. But in terms of, again, let me emphasize, in terms of those restaurants that want to then serve as grocery stores, they have to go through our health department and get that permission. So they can't just do it. There is a process. So I'm sure she's speaking from her heart, but again, you can't. These kinds of things have to go and be approved through the county health department, because we're the food safety. The county health departments are the food safety assurers for this community. So if you want food safety, county health departments have to be involved, bottom line.
So right now, the shelter in place from the state is until April 30th, correct?
Correct.
What are you envisioning here? And I know we're still, we're about a third of the way through April. This is going to be one of those months that seems like it's going to go on for a year, I'm sure. But how will you reevaluate that? I guess, will you take your lead from the state?
Yes, just in terms of how this all process works, the state government takes precedent over county and city governments. Mm-hmm. So whatever Governor Ducey directs is what we will be required to follow. But again, as we're hearing and we get updated on a regular basis, while we think we'll see a peak at the end of April, this is probably, we're looking to the end of May before we get to the point where the cases are declining in such a way that the shelter in place can be released from sheltering in place. But again, it's just every day is a new day. We simply don't know. We're working with the best information we have coming out of both D.C. and the governors and the state, but it could change tomorrow.
I hope it changes for the better, right?
Yeah, I think we all do. And This is, how are you holding up sheltering in place?
Well, you know, I come to work and then I go home and that's about it. My wife works at home, but everybody's getting cabin fever. You know that. But I guess we have to hang in there together here. But what I'm hearing you say is it could very well be the end of May before things return to some kind of a normal. Is that what I hear from you or no?
Yeah, that's what the models are predicting at this point. You know, and just because we peak doesn't mean we can, and we think we're going to peak toward the end of April. Just because we peak, we have to wait till that goes down. So the curve is essentially squashed, not flattened.
All right. Right about now, Sharon Bronson, I think we could all use some bakery goods. People are going to gain a lot.
You're going to get them home delivered to me, right?
Yeah. Home delivered, or you can go into Mona's Danish Bakery and pick up your goods and then leave. Mona's Danish Bakery is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are the home of the Danish Kringle, and business is good, which is we want to keep our local businesses doing well. Steve, owner and chief baker, encourages everybody to come up. You can get all your beautifully freshly baked breads. You can call ahead. Go to monasdanishbakery.com. Say, I'll be by in about 20 minutes. They open at 6:30 in the morning. They're open until 2 o'clock. You could call ahead. Say, why don't you set aside a half dozen of those giant peanut butter cookies for me, the size of a Frisbee, and they'll have them all boxed up for you. Walk in, and when you're in line there, they've got little things on the floor. Everybody's seen them by now, 6 foot, the 6 feet distancing. So everything's cool up at Mona's Danish Bakery. Please continue to support them. monasdanishbakery.com, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. We'll be back with Sharon Bronson, Pima County Supervisor, right after this.
During the coronavirus crisis, Vero Amore restaurants in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana are still open for takeout and home delivery. You can still enjoy all your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza. They're all available for takeout and home delivery. More at veroamorepizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted news talk in southern Arizona. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. So many people planting gardens. I have some friends who say that things starting to look really good in the garden. Yeah, if you can get by the allergies right now, but which a lot of people are sneezing and you know, they're covering their mouths, of course, but it, you know, that is, sneezing is not one of the symptoms, I understand, of coronavirus. I believe it's pretty much allergies in that regard. But anyway, Green Things, 3384 East River Road, your home for all of your organic gardening needs. Many people planting what they used to call victory gardens back in World War II. And the Green Things people can get you all set up with one of these really easy to use hydro kits. Then you go home and you start growing your own vegetables, which lots of folks are doing. Green Things, 3384 East River Road, greenthingsaz.com is the website, also zocalovillage.com. Sharon Bronson is with us on the live line, Pima County Supervisor. There is a new board member. You want to tell us a little bit about that, Supervisor Bronson?
Yes, and we had our, Betty Villegas. She was an employee for a number of years at Pima County. She was working on housing, and she joined us on the dais today, her first day as a Pima County supervisor. And I am so respectful of her professionalism. You know, she's doing this until the end of December, and I think she is going to be an amazing addition to the Board of Supervisors. She's level-headed. She puts policy over politics. That was clear today at the meeting. So I'm very pleased to have her join the board.
What was today's meeting? One of these, you meet every Thursday now in kind of an emergency COVID-19 update. Is that it?
It's a special COVID-19 update. One of the things we did today, I mean, we've been doing this for the last 3 weeks, but trying to practice what we preach, we are going to be not doing this every Thursday, but only as needed when we have to take some action, some legislative action, as we deal with this emergency, whether it's, you know, coordinating economic and business assistance. You know, we've got Pima Eats working. We've got, a number of, it changes daily. You know, the hospital preparedness and capacity, the personal protection equipment supply and other related supplies, how we protect the most vulnerable, food security and accessibility. These are all issues that we are going to be dealing with until we get through this. So we will, and we do update every day. You can go to our webpage, pima.gov/COVID-19 for current case information. And that will include a case breakdown by age group. But we need to find out, what we need to do as policymakers is coordinate the economic and business assistance, protect the vulnerable, and then make sure that we are, as an organization, getting information out to our constituents as to where we are, what we're doing, and how they need to stay safe, and how they can access assistance should they need it.
What did you think about Republican Steve Christie saying he wanted a more formal process? He felt this was rushed in the selection of Ms. Viejas. I mispronounced her name. Give it to me.
Yeah, Betty Viejas.
Viejas.
The hard G.
Okay.
The hard G.
Okay.
These are extraordinary times. We needed a full board to make these very difficult decisions. And we are clearly the electorate's going to have an opportunity to elect a board member this November, a new board member. But we needed an interim board member, again, who would put policy over politics. And in the end, we got a letter from the family, the Elias family, asking that we appoint Ms. Viejas because she would carry on Supervisor Elias's legacy. And I made the motion to appoint her. I think out of respect for the family, and I think her performance on the dais today demonstrates that she really is going to be the right person at the right time.
So many people, I'm sure, are saying we really hope Supervisor Bronson's prediction here on the Buckmaster Show that this shelter in place could go up to June 1st doesn't happen because of the economic effects. And I know you're very concerned about that. What is the recovery going to look like?
I don't think any of us know, but it's not going to happen in 2 weeks. It's going to take some assistance out of D.C., much like FDR did in during the Great Recession, much like we saw Dwight Eisenhower do after World War II. It's going to take government intervention and government intervention at the highest levels, meaning D.C. But as we talk about how do we deal with this recovery, we want to make sure everybody is aware of PIMA Works. PIMA Works is a web page we provide and provides a number of steps that could be taken to lessen the adverse economic and business impact. We're organizing these efforts and operationalizing them with not only internally in Pima County, but with the Arizona Commerce Authority, the U.S. Small Business Administration, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and many more. So if businesses need assistance, they should call 520-724-5735. That's the Pima Works number. Many questions we can't fully answer until the U.S. Department of Labor provides guidance on how to review applications for expanded benefits to small businesses. And then I would encourage everybody, all our small businesses, to visit the Arizona Department of Economic Security. It has an extensive list of frequently asked questions. And then the other thing is Pima Eats. That website provides a restaurant directory and connects with the Arizona Daily Stars list, the Tucson Foodie list, and Tucson To Go Sonoran Restaurant Week, so they can find out where they can go and frequent their restaurants and keep them, at least as we struggle through this, keep them afloat. And then the other issue we've really got to deal with is the hospital preparedness and hospital capacity. And I'm pleased to see that Governor Ducey has issued an order that the hospitals, in all of our hospitals in southern Arizona throughout the state, are in trouble because they don't have occupancy right now. Because he issued an order that there was no elective surgery, but there will be at least, we think, 200 million. Now, I could be wrong about that number, coming into those hospitals to keep them afloat through this crisis, from early Medicaid reimbursements. So I guess that's, if you want good news, that's good news, because we need to keep our hospitals open.
And a lot of people are wondering, why in the world these layoffs going on with our hospital workers, because the message has been kind of, people are, it's a mixed message. We need all of our, everybody on deck here, all the hospital workers. But when you cancel elective surgeries, that puts a lot of people, idles a lot of healthcare workers, doesn't it?
It does, and most of them are on furlough. And hospitals operate on a very narrow margin, just like grocery stores. You know, it's 1 or 2% margin. And to have these beds not occupied, there really isn't an alternative. They're going to have to furlough some people. But it looks like there is some help coming. If we get some emergency Medicaid monies for those hospitals.
If Jeff wants to go on the phone or on the line here on the air, we have less than a minute. Jeff, you would have to make your question in like 10 seconds for Sharon Bronson. Go ahead. Jeff?
Oh, I'm sorry. You were cut off here. I didn't
okay,
hear my name.
Quickly.
Yeah, I can't do it quick. I'll call back another time. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much, because we are coming up on a very hard break from CBS News with an update. So, Sharon Bronson, I appreciate the time, and you are wearing a mask, I understand.
Yes, I wear a mask whenever I'm in a county building and whenever I'm out. At home, I'm just with my cat, so
okay.
I'm not wearing the mask.
All right.
We all need to wear masks if we're out in public.
Sharon Bronson, thank you for the time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Ama Douro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
It's time for the CEO interview series on The Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor Inc., representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of $29.5 billion, with 173 company locates and expansions, supporting nearly 51,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com.
And our Sun Corridor Inc. interview is Zach Yenzer. Zach has been intentional to serve the community at the intersection of neighborhood business and community development. Zach is the executive director of Tucson Young Professionals, an organization that helps to retain, promote, and attract young professionals. He serves on the Downtown Neighborhoods and Residents Council and on the Downtown Tucson Partnership Board. He represents Menlo Park as the Neighborhood Association President. He co-chairs the Urban Housing Accessibility Task Force of the Downtown Tucson Partnership, serves on the Tucson Metro Chamber's Talent Task Force. He is the host of the daily radio show right here on 1030 The Voice. The program is called Tipping Point, airing at 9 o'clock Monday through Friday. It's an in-depth news and discussion program about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. In 2010, he was named the 40 Under 40 Man of the Year by the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and the Arizona Daily Star. Zach, you have built up a very impressive resume for a gentleman under 40. Congratulations. Well,
thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
Tell me a little bit about Tucson Young Professionals. I don't recall, I remember hearing about the organization. One thing you're to be commended about, you brought a lot of visibility and have to the organization. Mm-hmm. When was it founded?
It was founded 10 years ago as a 501c6 organization. What's really interesting, and certainly the Sun Corridor connection for this interview, we're our own organization, our own charter. But about 10 to 12 years ago, then TRIO wrote some economic development strategy. They said, look, we need to be intentional about providing a foundation for leadership development, a pipeline for the next generation of leaders. Right around that time, Southern Arizona Leadership Council helped us with setting up our own charter and things like that. So we're our own organization, but there's a deep legacy of community leadership in Tucson working to say, hey, we need to develop a pipeline for leaders, emerging leaders in Tucson, and we need something that can attract, retain, and promote young professionals in the region. So 10 years on, we are having one of our biggest years of growth right now and are really stepping into some cool things as an organization.
Why do you think the organization, Zach, is growing so rapidly? I mean, I would love to say it's your leadership.
I would too, but I don't
pat
think
yourself
I can,
on the
I,
back.
I can't take take that credit. I think two things happened. Number one is the big step we took at our 10-year anniversary was to bring on an executive director, bring on a staff person to say, hey, this is at a point where we really need to be day-to-day involved in it versus just a volunteer-only organization. I got to be that guy, but I think to some extent, the board's decision to build out the staff infrastructure made a huge difference. The other piece is that what we do is We work on enterprise partnerships, corporate partnerships, and say, look, how do we provide our valuable membership? We provide connection, professional development, and advocacy resources and opportunities to young professionals 21 to 45 years of age in Tucson and the region. How do we work with companies to say, look, do you have young professionals on your teams? Do you want to retain them? Do you want to upskill them so that they are ready to take on leadership in your organization, on boards in the community, so on and so forth? When we scaled the one-on-one conversations to being enterprise-wide conversations, that is what really grew our membership from 100 this time last year to 650 today. We've nearly 5X'd in a 12-month period. It's always encouraging when people tell me, we young professionals are not in Tucson, they're leaving. Certainly there are brain drain challenges, but we have a 650-person membership, the largest that I can find young professional organization anywhere in our state, right here in Tucson, that are advocating for a better community, committed to Tucson, and want to grow a career here, not just a job.
You take over, and boy, you're taking over this organization at a very difficult time. We could have unemployment up to, during the Great Depression, Zach, unemployment ran in the 30s up to 25%. Some are saying it could go to 30%. How are your main goals, your four things, and I want to hear them real quickly, the four things that you see are so important to the region, have those goals changed now with COVID-19?
They have not. So we gathered a wide cross-section of young professional organizations, young professionals serving organizations. This time last year, Bill, it's actually kind of interesting. It was April, I think 6th or 7th last year, we met at the Arizona Inn, had 50 young professionals, had some mentorship from leadership in the community. And we said, what are the four things we got to get right? And those were jobs in the innovation economy, education, you know, the right to provide it to your children, the right to the ability, rather, to access it, and you're happy with that in Tucson. The storytelling and branding and promotion of Tucson,
right,
and then infrastructure and quality of life. I would say those four are more important than ever.
I would agree. I was just thinking, would any of these four not be part of this recovery? No, the answer is they're going to be more important than ever.
And the resources to do them well, even less than they were before. So I think our moment as a young professional organization is to say, look, we need to have a future focus. How do we pull out of this nosedive? How do we get back up above the clouds again? These should be the focuses, as it turns out, I think, for post-COVID. And I think my concern is that I'm not hearing enough in the community about these four elements, because this is the mission that has been, in my opinion, handed to leadership in our community. The agendas have changed, or should change. Post-COVID, we got to get people back to work, paychecks in people's families, infrastructure maintained. We got to keep promoting what Tucson is to retain and attract people here. And our education resources are going to be slimmer than ever. So I'm actually encouraged that the message we've been saying for a year is more important than ever. We don't endorse candidates. We don't, you know, endorse bonds or propositions. But we do want to get young professionals educated about the issues here in Southern Arizona, and to be a platform as well to educate our electeds and our community leaders and so on and so forth about what the 21 to 45-year-old set wants to see for the future of Tucson and our region.
Only have about a minute left with Zach Yenser, the host of Tipping Point here on 1030 The Voice, and he is also the director, executive director, Tucson Young Professionals in our Sun Corridor, Inc. Interview, our twice monthly interview series. So, Zach, I get the picture about, you know, we're hearing so much about the health aspects of COVID-19. And of course, that's primary. But I, for one, now really want to hear about recovery as well.
Yep.
Would you agree?
100%.
Yeah.
That should be the message. And when I hear the narrative and conversation in Maricopa County, their heads have turned in that direction, to be plain, Bill. I would encourage, if I could, our Southern Arizona region to start to think in that direction as well, because we can't get through COVID-19 and then think about recovery. Mm-hmm. That has to happen now. so we turn the spigot on in the right way and the most effective way.
I agree. Zach Yenser, thank you very much, Zach. Folks would like more information about Sun Corridor, and I hope they do. They can go to the suncorridorinc.com website. You can hear more about Zach on his daily program here on 1030 The Voice. The program's called Tipping Point. Tomorrow, Zach has what we call in the business a very good get. He has a good interview lined up with the president of Arizona State University. Dr. Crow is going to be your guest, and that will be one Sun Devil to another. You being a Sun Devil. There you go.
But I got to tell you, I'm wearing more red the more I'm down here. Love what our universities do for our community. And U of A and ASU actually are partnering very closely right now.
Right.
It's great to see that regional collaboration. So no competition. Arizona universities have a role to play.
Thanks, Zach.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, that will do it for our Sun Corridor Inc. interview. Again, more information at suncorridorinc.com. Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, former Congressman Ron Barber waiting in line. He's in the queue on the live line. He's next right after this. During the coronavirus crisis, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is open for one-on-one appointments only by calling 795-8226 to arrange a time with Moe or Corinne. No interruptions and no other customers. Moe will even arrange a drop-off at the store's front door and coordinate a virtual design session. Moe's Gallery, Fort Lowell and Dodge, 795-8226 and moesgallery.com.
It's easy being green. Promote wind, install solar, drive electric cars, ban mining. Wait a minute! You can't ban mining! Green is good, but hey, no can do without the metals green products need from mining. If you ban mining, you'll ban everything green. And today's minds are on board, researching technologies that provide critical materials for a greener world. Being Green, another miracle from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
During this coronavirus crisis, Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, is still open for takeout and home delivery only. You can get all of your favorite Noble Hops menu offerings. Come pick them up, or they'll bring them to you. So check out Noble Hops on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and online at noblehopspub.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. If you're dreaming of getting away, well, when things finally quiet down and it's safe to travel again, how about a road trip over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico? Just a 3-hour drive. You can start your planning for when things finally open up by going to that website, southwestnewmexico.org, and there are all sorts of great opportunities for you at the website to find out about great places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities. Let's welcome now Congressman Ron Barber, who is a spokesperson for Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick. Ron Barber with us on the live line. Ron, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing well. We're, as I say, practicing social distancing, Congressman, in the studio here where I sit all alone, and my engineer producer is on the other side of the glass. So, you know, keeping my fingers crossed.
Yeah, well, we of course wish you well, everyone down there at the station. You know, we're hunkered down like so many people at home, and our daughters are monitoring us all the time, won't let us go out. That they do bring us groceries, so we've got a good system going right now.
Good.
I hope that this is over and we have a whole lot less death going forward. It's a horrific situation.
Before we give our listeners very important information about the government and how the program, the recovery program, could you give a comment, please, Ron Barber, about this front page story that Congresswoman Kirkpatrick said that the fleet, the A-10 fleet, may be sliced in half? What's the deal on that?
Well, it's been an ongoing battle with the Air Force to keep the A-10 flying. It started when I was in office back in 2013, and we pushed it back. We beat it back then, and Congresswoman McSally did the same. Senator McCain was there throughout it all. But here we go again. This is probably the third or fourth time that the Air Force has tried to divest the A-10. And this particular plan, it would cut in half the number of planes we have here at Davis-Monthan, which would really be a huge blow not only to the fleet but also to the economy of Tucson and surrounding area, which is really significantly positively impacted by the base.
Give us an update, Ron Barber, on the situation with it's confusing to a lot of people and to small businesses. Could you kind of summarize what is going on?
In terms of the COVID-19?
Please, yes.
Well, as I think most people by now know, we had a $2.2 trillion appropriation, which is, you know, unheard of. And that money is beginning to get out, not as efficiently as we would want, but the good news is, for example, that yesterday three of our community health clinics, El Rio, Chiricahua, and Green Valley, they all got really significant allocations under the Recovery Act. So that, for them, has stabilized their condition or their situation. Unemployment insurance, though, is a huge problem. A lot of people, of course, have lost their jobs. They're hoping for that unemployment insurance benefit, which would add $600 per week to the normal benefit. The logjam at the Department of Economic Security, where the unemployment insurance is managed, is really stifling a lot of people getting in and getting their checks. So it's a problem. I've been in touch with the ES program manager in regard to this, and we're hoping to see some relief soon. The third area, which has to do with small businesses, both for-profit and not-for-profit, it's called the Payroll Protection Program, and there are loans available to the small business owners. Again, there has been a problem with implementation. It was opened last Friday, but many of the banks were not ready. They only received the guidelines late on Friday, so they weren't really ready to start operating. And we still are having lots of problems getting people through the system to apply for those grants. So, you know, I assume that this is just such a big undertaking that, you know, the system is not working very well yet. Although Secretary Mnuchin, Secretary of the Treasury, has promised that this week people who have direct deposit will get that $1,200 check if they're eligible by income, which certainly will help a lot of people. But there are a lot of areas that are still of concern. We need a really solid position on preventing evictions. A lot of people are facing evictions in these times, hard to get another place, and they don't have any money coming in. So we're hopeful that that will be pushed back or at least give people a break. So it's a mixed bag. And there is another bill that was attempted on the floor of the Senate today, but not successfully, to increase the amount of money available for small businesses. There's a dispute between the Republicans and the Democrats on what should be in that bill. Democrats wanted to see more money for individuals, and it'll eventually get worked out. Sooner the better, actually, because this is an urgent matter.
It really is, Ron Barber. This is the kind of situation you almost just can't throw enough money at this situation. It's that dire. I saw a statistic today, Ron, that 1 in 3 renters in this country could not pay their rent this month at the beginning of April. That's pretty shocking, Ron.
It sure is. And there's some national statistics that came out last year, long before the coronavirus came along, and that is that about 40% of Americans have less than $400 in savings. So if they had an emergency, a car breakdown or whatever it might be, they're out of luck, basically. So that's the kind of condition that so many Americans were in before the virus came along, and now many of them are unemployed or laid off or furloughed, and it's tougher and tougher out there. I mean, obviously we have to help, the corporations that are in dire need, but my emphasis and the Congresswoman's emphasis would always be on the individual and the small businesses. That's where we're putting our focus. But I do want to make sure that your listeners know that even though our offices are closed, we're all telecommuting, and we're telecommuting from our homes, obviously. But we do have our call-in number is still active, and we're checking it every single day, several times a day, for voicemail messages from constituents. It's 520-881-3588, 520-881-3588. And the Congresswoman's website also has a lot of information about the virus and health tips, as well as access to our constituent services staff. So two ways to get to us on the website, congresswomankirkpatrick.gov, and on our phone in the local district office here in Tucson.
How is the Congresswoman doing?
Doing great. Thank you for asking. Today she's not feeling well. She had an allergy attack, unfortunately. She is prone to allergies and also to asthma. And so when the allergies kick in, as they have, her voice is not too good, and her breathing is somewhat labored. So she's not able to take the call today as she was scheduled, so she asked me to step in for her.
Well, a lot of people are suffering right now from allergies. This is kind of the prime season for allergies here in Southern Arizona, so we want to wish her the best. Give her our regards, okay?
I will, Bill. Thank you for that. And thank you for continuing to do the work. I know we're all taking some risks when we go out in public, and it sounds like you're protecting as best you can, but all of us have got to pitch in on whatever job we have, and I would just want to reiterate that our constituent services staff, we have them in both Sierra Vista and in Tucson, they are working really hard because the volume of constituent calls have just gone up dramatically. Last week, for example, we got 3 times the number of normal constituent calls for the whole week in one day.
Wow.
And it's people who are desperate for help and advice, and that's what we're here for. We're here to help the Congresswoman's constituents access these benefits and payments that are coming in from the Recovery Act and anything else that's on their mind or their need. We have a lot of other issues as well that people are still struggling with federal agencies on. That's our job, to help constituents navigate the federal bureaucracies, and particularly in this time, to find out how they can get access to these benefits that have been appropriated.
All right, Ron Barber, we want to wish you and your family the very best, and keep hanging in there, as we say, right? Take one day at a time. One day, Ron, has felt like almost a month, I'll tell you.
Oh, so true. I can't keep track of what I did.
I know. I can't believe it. Anyway, thank you, sir.
You bet. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Ron Barber with us on The Buckmaster Show. Dave Ramsey, in his very popular show, he's been very outspoken lately in this very crisis time about, I think Dave says, this too shall pass, I think he says. But anyway, he's got some very interesting views about how to survive this economically on his The Dave Ramsey Show. Coming up next, Tom Fairbanks. Thanks, Tom. As usual, good job.
Well, thank you. Good job yourself.
Well, thank you very much. We'll both give ourselves a mutual pat on the back. That's it for the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Keep smiling, be safe, be well. Talk to you tomorrow with Congressman Grijalva.